Hey you, how's it going? My name is Ruby Price and you are listening to the 28th ever episode of Fresh From The Scene. Today's guest is Mikey Brown from Stray Weather. They have a gig coming up in August. I hope you can get down for it, especially if you are close enough to Leeds. Get down to Key Club. Give them a packed audience. Within reason, obviously. But yeah, I hope you enjoy it. Let's get on with it. This is episode 28 of Fresh From The Scene. Please enjoy.
You're listening to Fresh From The Scene with your host, Ruby Price.
Welcome to Fresh From The Scene. Today's guest is the one and only Mr. Mikey Brown, frontman of Stray Weather. How's it going?
Hey. I assume that's my cue. I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here, but I am doing very well. Marvelous, some would say. And thank you for having me. I wanted to get on here for a while. Turns out you also wanted to get me on for a while. And I think I kind of invited myself around, really. So thanks for that.
Yeah, no worries. Like I said, you were one of the artists that when I was coming up with Fresh From The Scene, I made a master doc of like every single artist I could possibly think of. And Stray Weather was obviously on there because, you know, Leeds, local, stuff like that. And it just kept not actually, you know, materializing in terms of things happening, and then all of a sudden you were in my inbox and I was like,
yes,
I should have been in your inbox a long time ago. Let's actually make this work. And here you are.
To be fair, it's been a very quiet time. I was gonna say a year or 2 years or something, and I didn't, because I don't know how long it's been. And this isn't just a case of COVID and all that, it's just a case of, I don't know really, but essentially now is like it's a new start, it's a new chapter. And we're bigger and better than ever, but I don't want to say too much because I imagine I might ruin some potential questions. So yeah. I'll hold off for now, yeah, and see where we get to.
Yeah, so let's start with the basic question for every Fresh From The Scene episode. Who are Strange Weather? Why should people listen to you? In your own words, give us a pitch.
I don't know who Strange Weather are, but I can certainly talk about Strange Weather.
To anyone listening, I have had the worst like sleep pattern over the last 3 days, and it's going to come across. Sorry, Mikey, that it's fallen on you. But
don't you worry. It's fine. Stray Weather, right. Stray Weather is an interesting one. I normally like to describe it as it's music your mum doesn't understand. Although I think it's changed a bit now. But I think very simply, there's rock, there's electronics, and I kind of try and rap or do whatever I consider to be rapping in my own way, and it's all mashed up into one, and there's lots of energy, there's I'm not really signing it myself too well now. There's lots of energy, there's lots of throwing shapes and then wondering why there's loads of shapes on the floor. That tends to be the general consensus, I think. And another way I describe it though would be, it's, we're always like, what's that phrase, it's gone away from me, where you stick out like a sore thumb. That's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing.
That one. No matter what bill we're on, we always seem to be the curveball, the one that sticks out like that sore thumb, that bloody sore thumb keeps getting like hammered on. And that's us as a visual and auditory experience, I would say.
Yeah, a bit like, as you, to use your own phrase, throwing shapes at a wall, but your accuracy is so bad that they end up on the floor instead.
Oh, completely. There's so many shapes on there. There's like, there's circles, there's parallelograms, there's a rhombus somewhere, which looks like a bit like a parallelogram, and it gets confusing.
Yeah, I remember the first time I heard of a parallelogram, like I was obsessed with it. And one of my teachers said that it didn't exist. And I was like, how does it exist? Because he called it a rhombus. I was like, where are you going with this?
Do I not know my shapes? Have I just embarrassed myself?
Parallelograms and rhombus. I need to Google this because I'm in that state of mind. It's a simple quadrilateral with two pairs of parallel sides.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of like a slanty box.
That is,
like, you've got your standard rectangle, and that's also a parallelogram. But then technically, a rhombus is also a parallelogram.
Yeah.
Okay. Ignore that analogy. We weren't getting confused. Well, we were getting confused, but only because we didn't understand the difference. Yeah, rhombuses, cool. They're on the floor.
They're on the floor. They're very much on the floor. And finally, one of the main reasons as to why, you know, we have actually finally managed to discover each other in the Ethernet is you guys are releasing a brand new EP.
Thank the Lord, it's finally happening.
Yeah. It's called ASL, which I imagine is Internet Speak for a Satisfying Life.
Oh, well, here's the Easter egg. So back when I was a wee kid, age, sex, location was a big one. But actually, I don't know if it stands for that. There's lots of, in each of the songs, there's lyrics which are like ASL. So there's lots of different sort of links to it and meanings and Easter eggs. So I don't know, really. I guess it does allude to the whole sort of digital age and medium, not necessarily back to MySpace and stuff. I'm really showing my age now. but more so, it does start off on a sort of digital journey, almost like a sequel to Right Isn't Right, in a way, an old track of ours about like dating and Tinder and all that sort of stuff. But it definitely goes on a bit of a journey and a bit of a narrative and a, not a tangent, but a bit of a car crash, let's say. And I don't want to say much more unless you ask, but I don't know. I'm kind of excited for people to delve in, because to me, they're all individual songs that you can get into and just appreciate on their own. But I've always been a fan of EPs and albums. I'm not really the kind of person who just puts on like a single song. For me, it's that collection of songs in that time period from that artist. And I really wanted to make sure that they work as their own little beautiful set. And yeah, there is a narrative throughout the songs as well, which, yeah, I hope people dive into and enjoy and understand, really. But yeah, it's been a long time coming. It really has. We started it, I think, literally, this isn't a hyperbole, I think we literally started it in 2018. So for us to finally be at a point where I can say, yes, it's definitely coming out on the 6th of August. It got uploaded to the distro today, with the 6th of August, 2021. So it's definitely happening. I posted about it and said, it's coming out on this date on Instagram and Facebook, as the advert, as you helped me with just before we started. So it's coming out. It's finally happening. And I can't believe it. I'm surprised, but very excited. And nothing's going to stop it now. It's got to happen. It's got to happen.
Definitely got to happen. Especially now that you have, you know, paid for DistroKid.
Yeah. Sweet. I don't know how much the distro was, but I just paid 20 quid on that Facebook advert, so I hope that does so good.
Yeah, you've invested in it being released now, so you know, fingers crossed this is some forward momentum for Stray Weather.
Hey, that was good. Just so that's one of our songs. That was a very good reference. That was really good, actually. I'm really impressed with that. Clearly someone's been listening to the EP.
I mean, I have to thank you for sending me an advance copy, especially in preparation for this, obviously, because it helps to know what I'm talking about.
Oh, of course. And I feel like it's such a, not a departure, but I feel like it's a good evolutionary step for what Stray Weather is and where Stray Weather's going. So I thought it was super important, because you've seen us before. You've seen the old lineup. You've seen, you know,
I saw you when you
songs.
Were Stray Weather and The Forecast.
Exactly. Back when it was me being a poet and having like some backing bands. So you've seen like the full journey, really. That was our second show. You saw us at a warehouse in Huddersfield. So you've definitely seen how far it's come. And that was years ago, which is surprising. But that's the thing. I feel like we're only just getting started. I know it sounds incredibly cliche, but with this EP and all this whole sort of narrative plan I've got and everything, I feel like this is where I always wanted Stray Weather to be. And it's taken a while to get here, and there's been different things that have halted it and carried it on, and it's just been a bit weird trying to get there. Sorry, I'm trying to not burp as well. It's here, it's now. So yeah, you're very welcome. I'm glad you could listen to it and hopefully enjoy it. I don't know. I've not had a response from you yet in terms of if you like it or not.
Oh, I definitely enjoyed it. I've listened several times. Just waiting for a platform I can listen to it that's actually monetized, you know, so that it's not just me stealing some, you know, ad time from Spotify, not Spotify, SoundCloud. They're owned by the same company.
Are they? I didn't know that.
I'm 90% sure that's because if I remember correctly, SoundCloud was going to go like under and just disappear, and then Spotify came in and bought it. But I might be misremembering. But I am 90% sure that Spotify owns SoundCloud.
That doesn't surprise me at all, because Spotify is a behemoth of the music streaming platform world. and SoundCloud is for all it's just rappers, isn't it? I've just realized I am a SoundCloud rapper now.
It is just rappers and people sharing their demos for each other in the bands.
You know what? We don't even use it for demo purposes, actually. That's a Google Drive. We sound very fancy with that, don't we? But yeah, it's been on there just for like yourself, you know, for streaming and electronic press kit purposes. But yeah, it's, as we said, 6th of August. So I was going to work it out, but about five weeks away. It's not long, is it, really?
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of a COVID world where 15 months has flown by, I think, which has
flown
been scary.
By and gone by at the slowest of snail paces at the exact same time.
It's weird, isn't it? Super weird.
Yeah, super weird. But, you know, carrying on with the conversation about ASL, tell me about, you know, how this EP was written. You know, you said it, you started working on it in 2018. Listening to it, there are a lot of, like, you know, as you say, there's rap and electronic and hip-hop, but there's also, like, you know, rock and metal and even, you know, real instruments, which is, you know, a refreshing change given that I've heard you live and I know that you've used real instruments, but, like, they've never really come across, particularly on, like, Ever Endeavor and Tragedy. So, you know, tell me about writing ASL.
When it came to starting ASL, in the past, we've always written in the box, so writing within Logic Pro. Normally, Steve, our old drummer, or Dan, the current guitarist, would just come up with some crazy idea in the drive, like in Logic, throw it in the drive, and then we'd listen to it, and I'd be like, oh, we should do this here, or Dan would say something, or Steve would say something, and it would just evolve from there. But with ASL, we actually were together at practice, and we, in a very classic way, we tried jamming. So I normally, when I come up with ideas, I'll like beatbox and I like some sort of drum pattern, or I'll just hum something, and the guys will try and interpret it. It'll never be the way I imagined it, but they'll always make and do a better job of it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's cool. No, that's it. That's the one. That's way better. Do that. And it just evolved from there. So in a way, it was a more natural writing process, trying to be a bit more band-like, I guess. But at the same time, whenever we have written stuff in Logic like that, it's always been a case of, right, we've written this, how do we do it live? And a lot of the electronic stuff does come down to, you know, it used to be a sample pad, but now it's on backing track. So that's not stopped us, but it allows us to just do a bit more, I guess. And then when it comes to like, to Steve's drum beats that he was coming up with, some of the bits would be on so we had this Alesis sample pad. So he'd like hit, say, the top corner and it would trigger like a 4-bar loop. Whereas now I think some of the percussion is in the backing track, but otherwise our new drummer, Tom, is having to do all these crazy rhythms that technically shouldn't really be too possible and they're a bit difficult, because Steve would be playing things like he'd hit one thing, which would do something for four bars, and then he can just go, right, I'm going to now do this and do that. Whereas Tom's like, you know, having to use his legs as well because Steve was standing up doing it. And yeah, that doesn't really make too much sense. But basically, ASL was written in more of a normal format from what you'd expect. But when we've gone back to doing new stuff now, because we've already started on a new EP during lockdown last year, we've kind of gone back to the whole writing in Logic. But because we were doing it like this, we were doing it over Zoom, over FaceTime. We were watching like Dan's screen as the screen here in front of me. So we've just had to adapt and change over time, but it's been interesting. It's really changed the way we're approaching writing, especially during lockdown, but we've kind of gone back on ourselves, but that's kind of where we've come from anyway. So yeah, ASL was mostly live stuff that's then been tweaked in Logic, and then I just throw down lyrics at home, send that over, and the guys have always been very honest with what they like and what they don't like, and then yeah, it's all recorded at home. We've never been to a studio or anything to record, which is a shame because I do quite like the idea of that whole sort of, you know, oh, we're going into the studio and locking ourselves down and getting into that whole vibe. But it just doesn't really, it's just not really, well, we can't afford it, but I just don't think it would really work. I don't think it would really work for us, to be honest, because a lot of it is processed digitally. And then, you know, we try and figure out how to do it live. Like,
yeah,
there are more guitar parts in there. So, you know, we could record guitars and we could record like a full live kit now for new stuff, but I don't know if we would, to be honest. I think Stray Weather is now like this very digital and electronic production, but there are the guitars in there which bring in the riffs. It's got a bit more rock, a bit more metal. We've got the live kit live, like the full acoustic kit. So I don't know if we'd record it on record. I just think it makes it sound so much bigger and better live. So
I mean, going off what you were just saying, obviously, like, there are some genres of music that very much lend themselves to, you know, going to studio, doing everything, you know, the way that it's meant to be, in inverted commas. But then, you know, there are some, like, that just, you know, such as yourselves, you know, the bedroom studio is enough. The doing it all yourself, you know, one of the biggest albums of the 21st century was recorded in a bedroom studio. Granted, a very expensive bedroom studio, but Billie Eilish is all set up and stuff.
Of course.
It just, you know, it's led to this whole discourse of, is the studio necessary anymore? And, you know, for some genres and some acts, yes, absolutely. For some, the studio would never even enter the equation.
I'd like to, but I think when it comes to studio, you're not just getting a studio, you're getting that producer, you're getting that extra person who's going to bounce ideas off you. And, you know, you essentially write stuff together and you probably record stuff together. And it's a more of a collaborative partnership, whereas it's just all been ourselves the whole time. But it's that idea of, you know, bedroom recording and stuff and DIY that makes me realize if it wasn't for technology, like, Stray Weather wouldn't be a thing. Like when it was me doing the poetry and then creating the backing tracks for the new stuff as I was like looking to evolve the project, that was all, again, written in Logic. And if I didn't have Logic or my MacBook and that wasn't, you know, that whole technology wasn't a thing, then I couldn't have done it on guitar and bass and stuff. I can play a bit, but not comfortable enough to write. And it was all the early Stray Weather stuff was all just samples that I just threw into Logic and just played around with it. And that's how I came up with everything then. So it's very different now. But yeah, it's interesting thinking where it's come from and what it is now and how it is very tech-based, incredibly. Yeah.
I mean, I released an EP in lockdown. Like, that would never have happened without, you know, technology and, like, me just having access to Logic and stuff. So, yeah, grateful for technology, sometimes very scared of it.
Oh, yeah, I've seen Black Mirror. I've seen the one when Anthony Mackie makes out with, I say make out, he fucks his friend every year. That's fun. Have you seen that one? Have I just ruined it for you?
I haven't seen a lot of Black Mirror. The ones I have seen are all sort of based around, like, it never really, like, clicked with me, Black Mirror. Like, the episodes that I saw were all right and had interesting ideas, but a lot of them were also just, like, ideas that I'd had in middle school. Like, oh, what if I could take photos of, you know, things with my eyes? What if I could record my life back?
I never thought,
what if the Prime Minister fucked a pig on TV? Until David Cameron came along. But, you know.
Yeah, there's that whole rumour, wasn't there, that he did, like, in uni or something.
You talked about, you know, stuff being in a live setting when you were talking about how you were recording ASL. You are playing a gig, fingers crossed. Touch wood that, you know. July 19th goes ahead. But yeah, Stray Weather, Key Club, Leeds, August 7th, 2021. Great venue.
Amazing. We do have, like, potentially one show before that, but I'm kind of waiting to make sure it gets confirmed because, again, you know, COVID, and there's a few after that, and just confirmed another one today in Huddersfield, actually. But yeah, Key Club's definitely become, like, our sort of, our spiritual home, I guess I could say. I've known JD, one of the slam dunk promoters, for a few years now. I say a few years, for ages, actually. There's literally the start of my camera roll. I think it's like the third line down is photos of the Wonder Years at this house show in Leeds. And JD's in the background. So, like, we've been in, like, the same spaces ages, and I've just met him through different bits and stuff throughout the years. But yeah, JD's always, like, supported us and always does what he can for live acts around Leeds and stuff, which is great. So it's amazing that we have the opportunity to headline a wonderful little venue. And we played there twice before. Like, we've done headline, we've done supports and stuff. So, two of our headlines, sorry, and one support. But yeah, definitely excited to have that. And we've got our friends from Liverpool, Thunder and the Giants, coming down. Very Weezer Nirvana-esque. They're wicked. Fun fact, I became friends with Josh, their singer, because he's a promoter in Liverpool. And we became good friends because I accidentally took his bag home after a show once and then was in constant contact the whole night and trying to get it back to him. And then our other friends in Stay Safe, you can probably guess when they formed. One of my friends, the guitarist, Chris, my mate, we've been mates since college, so this is like what, 2008, 2009? So a long time. And drummer also Lee, we went to college together as well. So yeah, I'm super excited. It's nice to get Josh over and return the favor. It's going to be amazing. First gig for Stay Safe as well. So it literally just is a lineup. I went, hey, JD, can these guys play? And he was like, yeah, sure. I was like, cool. And that was it, really. Like, he's just sorted everything out. He's, you know, done all the usual admin and stuff. So very excited for that. And I want everyone in the world to come, not because I want, you know, people's money, but because I just want a crowd. I just want to play these new songs for a crowd. And we're going to perform the EP in full, which I wish more bands did that. I wish more bands played albums in full, because as I said before, I listen to an EP, I listen to an album. It's that moment in time. And I've been fortunate enough to see some albums performed in full. I think I've seen two Coheed albums performed in full. And I've also seen Doppelganger by The Fall of Troy played in full. And these are some of like my favorite albums. And I'm just like, as if I've seen that. Oh, and Take to the Skies by Enter Shikari at Slam Dunk as well.
I missed that Slam Dunk. I'm so annoyed about it. But was Doppelganger the one that had FC Premix, or however you're supposed to pronounce
it? Yeah, FCP Remix. Yeah. I can't even remember where it goes now, but that, yeah, that tapping thing. Bam, 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 bam. Yeah. I remember when I first heard that, it was, I got this, it's proper MySpace like screamo band called Drop Dead Gorgeous. Drop Dead, I mean, Common
that's,
Gorgeous.
That's just a MySpace like.
I know. It really is. And I got their album, like literally the first song on that EP, it was called In Vogue on that album, sorry. The first song started with this like elegant piano opening, and they went bum bam bam bum bam. And it's called Dress for Friend Requests. So yeah, have a look at that, because that's a throwback. But yeah, it was I bought that, and there was this like sort of sampler CD from Rise Records, and I was like, oh, okay. Was it Rise Records? No. Equal Vision, I think it was. And I put it into my computer, not a laptop, a computer, big old like Dell computer, to watch the video for whatever band it was. I think it was for Drop Dead Gorgeous. An FCP Remix started playing that video. I don't know if you remember the video, but it's constantly like moving in, like just the camera doesn't stop, and it's all like weird and trippy. And I was like, holy shit. And I think that's what got me into like my tech stuff, actually, that precise moment. Cause I was like, whoa, like I didn't know you could do all this like crazy stuff. And then got into like the Dillinger Escape Plan from there, and it just all escalated and evolved and went a bit mad, really.
There have been some music videos that I've watched that have been like, yeah, this is why I started getting into videography. This is why, like, you know, I wanted to make music videos. This is why, you know, I wanted to just create artwork that works with, you know, a song and tells the story of a song in its own way. I wish I could think of examples, but my brain's not engaged enough for that at the minute.
Oh, you need a longer nap, clearly. I can't think of any videos off the top of my head right now, annoyingly as well. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. I suppose if I'm going to go a bit more mainstream, something like Rock DJ, I think it was, by Robbie Williams.
I had that on VHS growing up.
Right. And I remember
I had it. The family had it, but yeah, still.
It was, I never saw it. It took me years to see it because he'd banned it from TV because he takes his skin off, doesn't he?
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, right? That's
mad. Like, I was like, how did you do that?
Because he actually took his skin off, it was true. Yeah.
The VHS had it behind the scenes, but I never actually bothered to watch that.
Oh, no, I really want to know now. Because it doesn't look CGI. I reckon it must have been some sort of like weird prosthetic like bodysuit.
I think it was prosthetic because, you know, it was 2002 or something like that.
I've seen him live. I'm a big Robbie fan, I won't deny. Although when I saw him live,
2000,
near enough. He sat
CGI
on this big chair.
Like 2000.
No, he was in one song. I don't know what song it was, but he sat on this massive like red chair like throne, and it just moved across the stage like side to side, and that was it. Like he was so lazy, he wouldn't even move in one of his songs. He just sat down, the chair moved him, and he didn't even play like every like all of his hits. Like there was some new stuff from the new album, and I was like, well, yeah, I expect this. It is an album tour technically.
Yeah,
but like it wasn't Nebworth, put it that way. It was not Nebworth. A little bit disappointing, but I've got Nebworth on DVD and Blu-ray. I sound like a massive fan now. I'm not. I just happen to have two copies.
I mean, I've got physical CDs of Robbie Williams, but no actual live performances.
Oh, Nebworth. Have you seen the Nebworth DVD or Blu-ray?
I haven't actually. Like until 2018, I thought Nebworth was just something that Oasis did.
Oh no, it's a real place.
Yeah.
It exists in the world. And Robbie, Oasis, I can't think who else. I think another big one would be Milton Keynes Bowl. Bullet in a Bible, Green Day. That was there, wasn't it? My Chem was supposed to play there last year and then this year. I think it was literally supposed to be like in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but that's been rescheduled again because of a pandemic or something, apparently.
Yeah, I've heard that something like that's happening.
Yeah, unfortunately. Sorry. No, I'm just kidding. I'm fine. I'm good.
It's okay. We are separated by a screen and several miles.
Yeah, several miles. A lot of miles.
Yeah, what were we talking about? We're talking about albums being played in full and like EPs. Yeah. We're playing ASL in full at
Key Club.
Yeah. I saw As It Is play their debut record and previous EP in full at Deaf Institute, which was fun. But looking back on it, they definitely have better songs now.
Yeah.
In the politest way possible.
You love As It Is, don't you? There's definitely a thing with, some songs might be a bit naff, but the reason I'm watching it is because I do love like the album back to back. So the Coheed albums, just to give context there, was In Keeping Secrets of Silent Earth 3, which was at Heavy Fest, which is where I saw The Fall of Troy, and Thrice also headlined that weekend. It was like three of my favourite bands in one, which was nuts. And then I watched them play Good Apollo and Burning Star 4 at the Kentish Forum, I think it is, in Camden, in London. Drove there in the day, went around Camden, went to the gig, and then drove back that same day. I was knackered. I was literally like falling asleep on the way back. It was really dangerous.
The things that we did to experience live music.
I know, it's nuts, isn't it? And I was like, God, as if I've driven 8 hours today, whereas some people in America will drive like more than that just to go to like a small band show because that's the nearest venue they've got. We take it for granted so much. Like, oh, there's a venue down the road for 20 minutes. And then your mate's like, oh, I can't come. And it's like, come on, please. It's 20 minutes away. Really?
It's like, why aren't you playing in my living room?
Yeah, like, oh.
And then they'd complain that you're not playing in the bedroom.
Yeah, probably.
Can I watch it on TikTok?
Oh, it doesn't sound good enough. Oh my God. We should probably get on TikTok. I don't know if, I think that's a market we should, actually saying that, we definitely should, because with this distributor we chose today, our
to songs, put the songs
will be
on TikTok as like
an Instagram
creatable stuff.
Yeah, which we've never had before, so I feel like a real band now, which is cool.
Yeah, now you just need like that one viral dance with something from ASL in the background, and boom, money, as they say.
Can we work on that? might get signed like that sea shanty postman, might we?
Perhaps
we'll figure it out. I don't know what we could do. I don't know what song would be. I don't know which bit of which song would be good enough to have a dance move to. And what the hell would that dance move be? I've no idea. Not a clue.
Yeah. Better I'm curious though. Than me exist.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll ask someone else then if you're not wanting to get involved.
Yeah. Like I went to a gig going back to live music for the first time in 18 months at the weekend.
Oh, it was Parrish, wasn't it?
It was Parrish. Alex Tracy Mahatma Raindrop,
that's it. Main support.
I cried 3 times during the night because, you know, live music is just such a fantastic thing. It's basically been the thing that's kept me going since 2015 when I actually decided, hey, I should probably go to a gig rather than just, you know, be a music journalist. So, you know, since then, like, live music has just been absolutely, you know, infectious, and not being able to go to gigs over the last year and a half has broken me. But
oh, completely.
You know, I definitely like know why you want a crowd there as well. Just not even just for the sake of listening to things, but because people need to, you know, go back outside and experience live music again. You know, it's overwhelming for the fans. It's overwhelming for the artists.
Completely. It's Well, we one of the Key Club shows we did, actually, we sold like loads of tickets, and literally only like one or two of my mates came in the end, and I was gutted. And people were like, oh, but you still got the money, right? I'm like, yeah, but I'm not bothered about that. Like, I'm not doing it for the money. I'm doing it because I want to play these songs to my mates, especially when it comes to like Leeds and hometown shows. And then anywhere else we play, like, you know, we've played where we've literally played to the other bands. We've played places where we play to like way more people, like 30, 50 people. And I'm like, holy crap, like as if. And I'm just so grateful to anyone that just gives us their time. Like, I'm just like, cool, just give us 30 minutes. If you like it, amazing. If you don't like it, no worries. At least you gave it a try. And that's all I want from people, is just to give us a chance. And sometimes I have to, you know, persuade my friends just to give us a chance as well. And I'm like, please, like, you're my mate as well. Like, that's like a double bonus, isn't it? Like, just give us that time, give us that chance to just show you what the hell we'll do. And I'm always 100%. I'm always 100% going to give it 110% is what I'm saying, which sounds a bit weird. Because, like, you don't know who's there. And the thing is, if there's like a small crowd of like five people, I'm still going to give it absolutely everything I've got, because that can absolutely make that night for those people. They might just completely click with Stray Weather, and I might be like, oh my God, it's my new favorite band. I don't know, but I want everyone to see the full realized version. I'm not going to be half-assed just because there's less people there. I want it to always be the same experience. So the more people, the better, though. It just fuels me. It really does, honestly. Just when people are just giving it back, I'm like, yes, I just feel like some sort of demigod, and I'm just feeling like fueling myself off people's energy. And it just drives me. It just pushes me to this like absolutely extroverted, like frontman place. And just fills me with so much like, just like confidence and just like bravado in a way as well, I guess. And just like, oh, just passion in that moment. It's just, oh. It's fucking sick. It's so good. I love it, man. So much.
The entire, you know, English language ahead, and it's fucking sick is actually just the best way of describing it, because, you know, you could spend so much time, and, you know, a show is a show, but a hometown show especially, like, you know, just brings that extra element of things to it. And you've got that, like, synergy between artist, crowd, venue as well, you know, it's magical for 20 minutes, for 40 minutes, for an hour and a half. Those are moments that, you know, you're never going to get back. And there's a good reason for that, because if you were living them all of the time, how are you supposed to top that?
Who knows? I don't know. But it's just, you know what, talking about it, it's just made me so much more excited. I got excited yesterday when we were doing the music video for Butterflies, and then when we'd completed the artwork as well the other day. And then just talking about it now, I'm like, oh my God, like, that's going to happen soon. Like, oh, I just want to go and tell everyone, like, please come, just come and have a good time. It's going to be amazing. I just can't wait. And my mates are playing as well with us. How cool is that? It's just great. I can't wait.
It's basically a family show.
It really is. Like, and just, yeah, super excited. And this gig, I just confirmed today in Huddersfield. That's where the band we played with before as well. So really excited to get back on that. So yeah, just... And Parrish has moved now in Huddersfield. It's in that big old building. Tokyo's. That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that looks sick, that venue. Is that different floors then?
Yeah.
So like below or upstairs or something? Yeah.
So like, you know, when you go into Parrish, when you go into Old Tokes, like, you've got bar level on ground floor. There's obviously a basement, which no one really goes into. And then venue is top floor, and wow, is it good. Like, Old Parrish is legendary, you know, like, it's never going to leave the hearts of anyone that's ever been to a gig there. But this is going to do so many good things, like, based off the experience I had at the weekend for Parrish, in terms of, you know, being on lineup tours, you know, and seeing the Parrish on, like, posters and stuff. It's 100% going to change, like, you know, the touring circuit, I think.
Provided
it actually gets the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, I completely agree, especially with the fact that obviously Huddersfield, I say obviously, it's a uni town, like, people forget that. Yeah. And yeah, there's Manchester, there's Leeds either side, but there's plenty of people who, from, you know, Huddersfield specifically and all the surrounding areas, because Huddersfield's a big town. I'm sure there's a lot of people that they can tap up there. And even then, when you think of like Manchester and Leeds, there's other towns and suburbs nearby that people would travel to. So I don't think it's necessarily going to split the crowd as such. I think if anything, some people might go to both, or it might just entice more people to come down. But yeah, I think it's amazing. I mean, Blood Youth are definitely like sort of making waves a little bit at the minute, and they've just announced a tour with Huddersfield there. It's not quite a city tour, like, it is more like towns and stuff, but the fact that Huds is on there is, and Parrish is fantastic. So I assume Mikey's booked all that, Mikey Baird, so shout out to him, because he's been amazing. He's booked Stray Weather before, he's booked loads of other bands that I've done. And he's booked some of my favorite bands that I've seen there. So good on him. Yeah. Absolute legend. I think anyone who knows Parrish will probably know him. Yeah.
Yeah. The things that Mikey has managed to do with Parrish, like, While She Sleeps were there, you know.
Yeah.
That baffles me, given, you know,
Every Time I Die, The Bronx.
That's who I'm thinking of.
I miss that one annoyingly, but I saw The Bronx and that was nuts. It was so sweaty. It was amazing.
Yeah. It's like rightfully so. Shout out to Mikey Bed.
Yeah, absolutely. Cheers, pal. You're an absolute legend. Sorry, bit of a weak clap that sounds like, but yeah, maybe put in some maybe put some in post afterwards. Woo!
Are there any particular tracks on the EP that you want to talk about?
Oh,
I mean, I don't know how much, like, you're obviously wanting to talk about, like, pre-release, but, you know, like, you know, listening to Are You Okay is a very powerful experience.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Are You Okay? So originally the EP was going to finish as it is on Headlights, and then Are You Okay came at the end. It was essentially, it was written like, it's the quickest song we've ever written. No doubt about that. I think it was like May or June last year, whenever my Nana died. That was during lockdown. It's the first sort of like death in the family. Like, there's been like a great auntie and my granddad died, but when I was like 3 weeks old, so obviously I don't remember that. And this is the first sort of death I've had to deal with, really. And I knew it was coming. I was expecting it for years and years and years, and it came. And then the next day I also got told I didn't get this like promotion at work and stuff. And also we were in lockdown, and that was like first lockdown, so super lockdown. So, you know, we couldn't do anything, couldn't go anywhere, couldn't see anyone, just trapped at home in this flat. And I was just like, oh crap. And just, yeah, it wiped me out a bit, to be honest. And yeah, it was hard. Like, and even though I knew it was coming and I was glad that at least my nan wasn't going through what she'd been going through, it was still difficult. And that week as well, we would, my auntie and I, because she lived in Luton, she was looking after her quite a bit. We'd planned to do a FaceTime so I could see her. And that was like the Monday, but my nan wasn't feeling too good. So we said, oh, we'll arrange it for another day. And then it was the Wednesday when she died. And I was like, oh crap. And that was tricky, you know, and it was so close. And I was just like, yeah, as much as this EP is, you know, all this narrative, this whole made up thing that I've gone for, I won't allude to more than that because there's more to come. But anyway, yeah, some of the songs are influenced by certain events, and that one's the biggest. It fits in with the story, but and not in a tangent way. It does make sense to everything, so it fits in well. But yeah, it was heavily influenced by that whole situation and like pulling up to the cemetery and like doing the whole procession there and stuff. I just remember like pulling up and I was just parked up and I just started crying. I was just like, no, like I'm not ready for this. And yeah, it was awful. But in terms of the song itself, like it just, the lyrics came out really easily. I'd had these chords for ages that I always just seemed to play whenever I picked up a guitar, and Dan completely took it and just ran with it and just made it into something quite special, I feel. And yeah, it just fit the end of the track. I think Dan at first was a bit worried. He was like, are we going to be able to put another song on? And I was like, well, at this rate, we're not going to release this anytime soon anyway. I'd rather release it when we can go out and play it. As much as it would be nice to have content for people, I wanted to, you know, do it properly and give it justice after it already been so long. So I'm glad we've done that. But yeah, it means a lot. I don't really know how it's going to fit into the set live, because I always want to have big, punchy, bold songs when it comes to live. So it'll be interesting to see if we fit it in at all. Obviously, we will do for this, for the launch show, because we're playing it in full, right? That's the whole point. But yeah, I feel like it might get emotional if people know the words and they sing them back. I feel like that might make me cry, which is fine. I'm all for crying at a gig. And if someone's singing my own words back, it's going to be pretty emotional, especially for that song. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, as much as it is about my nan, yeah, it's, you know, I say, you know, but for the listeners, the chorus is never really found out, never really knew how to answer the question, are you okay?
Are you okay?
Yeah, because so many people just constantly, are you all right? You okay? And I'm like,
yeah, sure.
I know what to say. Yeah. We lie all the time, don't we? Like, we always say, yeah, I'm fine. And you're not. But you don't always want to talk about it. That's the thing. And as much as there's been such a big movement in, especially for men's mental health, like, you know, oh, talk up and stuff, you know, speak out. Let's wonder how you're feeling. Like, you don't always want to. I think, if anything, there's been too much of a push that we have to talk, and you don't have to talk. There's different ways of dealing with it. And I got through it in the end. Yeah, I spoke a bit with some people, but It's just like, how do I embody all these emotions and feelings? How do I portray that into any sort of lexical sense just tell someone, you know, just to say, am I okay? Just to answer that. It's such a simple question, but it's not, is it? It really isn't. It's not a closed question, is it? It's an open question, really, in my mind.
Yeah.
It means a lot. I'm glad the EP ends on that. It's a bit of a different track to the rest, as I'm sure you'll probably agree. But that one goes out to my nan, Patricia Brown. She was wicked. She's really awesome. And I hope she would have liked it. I don't know if she would have, but she liked Elvis, so she might not have done.
Yeah.
But
would your grandmother say?
Yeah, that's another reference to an old song. What would your mother say? I really cringe at that song now. The lyrics are so cringe. I don't know if I've ever said this properly out loud, but basically it was about all the knobheads I used to get when I worked in Nando's.
Yeah.
They were just really rude. And I just thought, what would your mum say if she knew you were doing that? And it just became this stupid tagline in this song. And it's just, yeah, we don't play that anymore. I refuse to play it. It's just so, like, we've got better songs. And even though some of the older songs are better than that, I can't. It's Our Creep by Radiohead. Just, nope, that was an old version of us. We don't do that anymore. Yeah. As if I've just compared us to Radiohead. That was that was something, wasn't it? What would your grandmother say? That's good, that.
But yeah, thank you for that. That was really interesting to hear about the background to Are You Okay? And I do completely like agree, like, and I know how that feeling feels when, you know, the first time you actually lose proper family that you've, you know, actually been aware of, rather than just 3 months old, or was it 3 months?
3 weeks, yeah. 3 weeks, never, yeah. Really met him. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, it's indescribable, like, the feeling of it, but, you know, being able to put it into a song and carry on her legacy, Patricia Brown.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, as much as it is, you know, a song by me and Dan about my nan, like, you know, I hope it gives some sort of closure for other people as well. You know, I hope it kind of gives people some sort of guidance. Not that it has to, but if it does, I'd be super chuffed with that. If it really did, you know, it'd be nice to be able to give something to people as well. Because, I mean, it sounds cliche, but obviously I'll talk to people. I'll listen. I know I just said, like, you don't always have to talk, but I say that to people. I'm like, look, if you want to talk, I'm here. If you don't, that's cool. Like, you don't have to. But I'd happily do that anywhere. So if it's a friend, if it's like, you know, someone watching at a gig, like, yeah, completely. So let's do it.
Yeah. Absolutely. So to end on a much more positive note,
yeah,
on a much more happy and cheerful note, Stray Weather ASL, 6th of August 2021, people should 100% stream it. Are there going to be physical versions at all?
Oh, you know what, no, it's not a spoiler, it's something that we have not considered a single bit. So in answer to your question, are the physical, No. I mean, people don't really buy CDs. That's probably the problem. I'd rather people bought merch and stuff, really, as a physical thing, because that's a bit better and a bit more useful. But please buy merch if you like us, because I am owed that money back.
And very
the merch
good...
is cool, though. It is cool. It is cool, yeah. I promise.
And a very good opportunity to buy said merch would be at the Key Club the day after the release.
Absolutely. Or any other live show, unless we sell out, which would be amazing. Or online. It'll be online before the show, I suspect. Depends how quickly we get them. But I know printing is underway, as well as some other bits as well. Some other extra bits aren't T-shirts, but we'll see. We'll see if people like them. I hope so.
We will see. But yeah, so is there anything that you would like to plug yourself? You know, where can people find and listen to Stray Weather if they want to?
Oh, if you want to listen to Stray Weather, just shout it into the stratosphere and someone will... No, they won't. That's not a thing. Stray Weather, anywhere you look, because Stray Weather's an original name. So that's, you know, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Not TikTok yet, have you just heard, but maybe soon. Just Stray Weather anywhere you want to listen. Apple Music, Spotify, SoundCloud. I don't know. Apparently we're on there, as we said. Just, yeah, give it a chance. Just give it a chance. You might like it. And if you do, that's amazing. Welcome to the club. And if you don't, that's cool. You gave it a go. Not everyone likes onions, right? But you got to try them at some point.
I mean, given how many things onions are in, you'd hope that someone would try onions at some point.
Yeah, I think that's just me. I mean, I say that they're in everything and I still eat them, but I'm just, they're just weird. I don't know.
They are
weird. It's
weird.
Raw onion is weird. Cooked onion is just like greasy and sloppy. And that's what I'm going to end the podcast on.
Yeah. So thank you very much for coming on the podcast, Mikey.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
It was long overdue and very much enjoyable.
Yeah, wicked. Go listen to the EP. It's cool, I promise.
You're listening to Fresh from the Scene with Ruby Price.
Thanks very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed that. If you did, do give it a share on social media. You have no idea how much that helps out the podcast, particularly with algorithms and stuff like that. You can also leave a review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to, if it allows, such as iTunes, etc. It would be very much appreciated. Thank you very much. Do go and give Stray Weather a listen. They are very good, and I am very excited for their new EP, ASL, coming out very soon. That's all from me. I will see you next week with another episode of Fresh from the Scene. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.